As we sit outside, it is good to be able to be in the Lord's house. On Mother's Day, as I mentioned, it's a little odd, a little strange, the way things are. But the Lord knows all about it. It didn't catch him by surprise, didn't catch him off guard and everything. It'll take a minute for my classes to readjust to being inside. And everything, but we appreciate the opportunity just to be in the Lord's house today. And I know, like I said, outside, it isn't the way we want to do things right now, but it is the way that we need to do things at this present time. But I'm looking for the Lord to help us, touch us, and meet the needs of our heart in these days, and speak to us in the Word of the Lord. If you have your Bibles, I ask you to turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 1, the first chapter of 2 Timothy. I'm going to read from the first chapter, and I'm also going to read a few verses from the third chapter. So in the first chapter of 2 Timothy, and then we'll read a few verses from the third chapter. But I'll read first in the first chapter of 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, the first chapter, beginning in verse number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, be mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. And then if you'll go to chapter number 3, and down in verse 12, chapter 3 and verse 12, it says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast heard and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And that is reading a portion from the first chapter and the third chapter of 2 Timothy, that which the Lord has impressed upon my heart for our thinking today. So let's go to the Lord in prayer for just a moment. Our Father in heaven, we do thank you for the privilege to call on your name. I do thank you today that we're able to come together and worship and honor you today at the house of the Lord. Father, we are here in your house, and but some outside in their cars. But Father, then there are those that are listening by way of internet. And I ask that you touch all, Father, today that are listening. Somehow speak to our hearts and work in our lives. Help us, O Father, that we might honor you in what we say and do a work in our lives and in our souls. Father, would you make preaching easy for me today? Give me the words. Give me the guidance. May everything that I say honor you and magnify you. And may you get the glory in it all. And we'll thank you for it. Touch hearts, Father. Bless as only you can. And we'll give you the praise and the honor. In thy name, we humbly ask these things in faith. Amen. We often think and talk about the faith of our fathers, and we'll sing or hear that old hymn that has that title, Faith of Our Fathers. And we often consider the men of faith in our past and in our history that have left us a legacy in faith. And surely there are great men that we think of down through the history of Scripture and even in our own past that have left us such a great spiritual heritage. And many examples are there to be found. And we're thankful for that. But we have before us in our text today an example that the Apostle Paul has given us of the testimony of a mother and a grandmother whose faith has left a legacy in the life of young Timothy. In the course of Paul writing to young Timothy, this pastor, Timothy, he is telling him of the blessing that he is to him, and he talks about his unfeigned faith in verse 5. He says in that verse 5, in the first chapter, he says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. That word unfeigned, it means without pretense, or a faith that is not hypocritical. It is a faith that isn't just an intellectual faith, but it is a faith of complete trust of the heart. And so that he says, Paul says to young Timothy, when I think of you, and I think, and I call to remembrance, that I see in your life a faith that has a strong conviction about it, a faith that isn't hypocritical, a faith that is without pretense. But he went on to say, but not only is that faith in you, but he said, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. He says, not only is it in you, but he said that faith was first found in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice. It was in them as well. So I say, what a testimony. What a testimony of a mother's faith. And I say that we need that kind of faith in mothers and grandmothers even today. That kind of faith that marks a family. That kind of faith that influences friends and others about them. It is a heritage of faith that is handed down from generation to generation. It was a kind of faith that influenced young Timothy, but it also impressed the Apostle Paul. So I want to preach this morning, if I can, for just a little while, on the heritage of a mother's faith. The heritage of a mother's faith. I asked the question today, and I'll answer it in a few ways. I asked the question of what kind of faith was it that these two women had. So I answer the question like this. First of all, it was a faith with convictions. A faith with convictions. It was based on some strong convictions about some things. Now, let me pause and say this. that there is nothing wrong with a mother desiring for their son or their daughter to succeed in life, in natural things. There's nothing wrong with a mother having a desire for their son or her daughter to have good things in this life. Surely every mother has that desire, and father has that desire toward their children to have good things in this life. But along with that desire, there needs to be some convictions about spiritual things. And first of all, there needs to be some convictions about salvation. Some convictions about salvation. I see that in these women based on what I find in verse 5. It says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. So it is a lineage and a story of faith. Now, whenever you see the word faith, it is the idea of a salvation. It is the idea of a story of faith in Jesus Christ. And so there is some convictions about salvation. Now, the story about Lois and Eunice and Timothy goes all the way back to the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 1, it says, then came he, talking about the Apostle Paul and his missionary journey, said, then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, which is Timothy, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek. Now, somewhere along the line, the grandmother, Lois, had heard the good news about salvation, passed it on to her daughter, Eunice, and in the line, had passed it on to her son, Timothy. So they had passed on their faith in God. Now, I know they can't pass on salvation just because my grandpa was saved. Doesn't automatically mean that her daughter was saved and automatically mean her grandson was saved. But they pass on the influence of salvation. They teach them about salvation. And you find that in chapter 3 and verse number 15. He says, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. You see, they found Christ as their Savior. And they taught Timothy about salvation through the Scriptures. They realized that salvation was through Christ. And they taught it to Timothy. They had some strong convictions about salvation. You see, salvation wasn't just a superficial thing to them. But they had some strong convictions about it. You know, and you see it in that word dwelt back there in chapter 1 and verse number 5. Which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. That word dwelt, it means there was a resident in them. It dwelt in them. It wasn't just a visitor, but it dwelt, it resided in their heart. It wasn't just in the sunshine when things were well, but in the shadow also. It's sad to say, but there are some people, there are some parents that are unstable in their faith. They're never settled. They're in and out. They're in and out. Oh, they'll come to church for a while, then they fall out of church for a while. And then they're back in for a while, and they're out for a while. But not these women. of these women. The idea was that it dwelt in their heart. They had some strong convictions about salvation. It was an everyday conviction about salvation. They had a strong faith. Can I say to you, as a mother and even as a father, that your kids need to see stability in faith. They need to see that your salvation is real to you, that it means something to you. You see, the indications are from Acts chapter 16, when it says that they were believers, that they believed. Then it says, but his father was a Greek. The idea seems to indicate that Timothy's father wasn't a Christian. The idea seems to say that his brother and grandmother were saved, but his father wasn't. Sometimes it's that way. Sometimes it's that way. But if you're saved, they need to see that it's real to you every day, at all times in your life and in your heart. So there were some convictions about salvation, but there were some convictions about the Scriptures. I touched on that a moment ago in chapter 3, verse 15. It says that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. They had taught him from a child about the Scriptures. They had read to him. They had read to him, taught him about the Word of God. I don't know where they first heard it. I don't know. Maybe somewhere along the line, somebody passing through had preached to them the Word of God. They'd gotten saved. Maybe it was Apostle Paul. But even before that, they had taught him from the Old Testament. They no doubt had taught him about Abraham. They had taught him about Joseph. They had taught him about Moses leading the children out of Egypt. They had taught him about David and Goliath. They had taught him about Daniel and the lion's den. They had taught him those Old Testament scriptures. And then, once they got saved, they told him about a man named Jesus. They had told him about the scriptures, the Holy Scriptures. He said, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Oh, he was a mother and grandmother who knew the importance of the Scriptures in the life of their children. Oh, we have so many today moms that can tell their children all about the latest gossip. They can tell their children about what's going on in the latest news on television and all of those things. But they can tell them what's in the magazines and in books. But when's the last time that you really sat down with them and told them about the Scriptures? While they're little, sit them on your lap and read to them about the Scriptures. Tell them about those things in the Word of God. The greatest book that you'll ever hold in your hands is the Word of God. The greatest stories that you can ever teach your children are about the Word of God and the things of God. And we need to teach them about the fundamentals of life. We need to instill in their hearts the truths of the Word of God. Put it in their hearts while they're young. Put it in their hearts while they're small. You say, why? Because it's while they're young that their convictions are being formed in their hearts and in their lives. We want our children to live right. We want our children to do right. Then instill in their heart the Word of God. Tell them the truth. Tell them what's right. Teach them those things. It's important. It's important to instill that in their heart and in their life. Let them know. Build in their heart that heritage of faith. Heritage of faith. I've got it on both sides of my family. I can look back in the heritage of the Dyson family. I can see it in my parents and my grandparents. I can look back in the heritage of the Dyson family. And there's preachers back there years ago I've got records and testimony of how the Dyson family of faith in my heritage on my mom's side. I've got a great 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 grandmother whose name was Molly Hildebrand. She was married to a man named George Hildebrand. Does that name sound familiar? The school's named after him. The community is named after George Hildebrand. He was my great, great, great grandfather. But Molly and George Hildebrand, they lived over near where Mount Hebron Baptist Church stands today. Right there near the South Fork River is where they lived and established a home there in that community. But Molly Hildebrand, our family history tells us that she was a devout woman of faith. She believed in reading her Bible, studying the scriptures daily from an old German Bible, which was their heritage. I want to tell you, only God knows what that meant to our family, handing it down from generation to generation to get where I'm at today. Oh, I thank God for such a heritage. Oh, listen, sometimes we think, well, you know, I got where I'm at just because of where I am. But you never know. You never know what it meant for somebody way back yonder to pray, ask God to bless their family, hand it down from generation to generation. And God answered their prayers and saved you, saved me. That's why I'm where I'm at today. So I say to you, instill in their hearts, let them know what faith means to you. So it was a faith with conviction. Secondly, it was a faith that was communicated. Communicated. Now don't get me wrong, I'm not saying that I put down godly fathers in any manner. It takes both. I can't express what my dad has meant to me and still does mean to me. Our fathers have a tremendous responsibility in the instruction and example toward their children. But so often it's the mothers that make such a deep impression upon their children. Some great men said some tremendous things about their mother. Charles Spurgeon said, I cannot tell how much I owe to the solemn words and prayers of my Christian mother. John Quincy Adams said, all that I am, my mother made me. And others I could quote about things that they said about their mothers. But we live in a day where motherhood isn't thought much of. But I want to tell you, motherhood has an important place in the lives of children. There are two things found here in chapter 3, verse 14 and 15 I want to emphasize. First of all, it is seen in a personal education. And I've been touching on it all along. But in verse 14, it says about Timothy, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. In other words, Paul is saying, stay with the truths that you've been taught. Stay with the truths you've been taught. In verses 12 and 13, he says the godly are going to suffer persecution. He says that days are going to come that evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Paul said this thing's going to get bad. Life's going to get tough. Things are going to get hard. And this world's going to get worse. Evil's going to abound. But stick with what you've been taught from a child. Those things your mother taught you. Those things your grandmother taught you. Those scriptures that made you wise to salvation. Stay with those truths. listen to me. I cannot underemphasize or overemphasize, I guess is the better word. I cannot overemphasize the importance of sticking with what you've been taught. And I cannot emphasize enough others to teach your children now the truths that'll stick with them for a lifetime. Because they will. They will. I've got a sister, one of them, the one that's died already. I've got a sister that in her life, I watched her. I watched her go away from God. I watched her get out in sin. She was taught the same things I was taught. She was taught the ways of God, brought up in church like I was. She listened to the same preaching that I listened to. And she was brought up in the same godly home I was. And she knew what we knew. But I watched her get away from God. I saw how it broke Mom and Dad's heart. I saw them cry. I saw them weep over her. They loved her. They wanted her to come back to God. They prayed and they did. They did all they could do to try to help her. But I saw over time in brokenness how that God brought her back in repentance and she come back to the Lord. She came back to the Lord. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying that you stick with the teaching. You pray for them. They may get away from God, but they'll never get away from the things you taught them. I can't guarantee you that every prodigal will come home, but I can guarantee you that they'll never get away from the truths that you've taught them from the Word of God and the things of God. So instill it in their hearts. Put it in their hearts. Oh, they need that personal education. Oh, they need that. Pass on those convictions. They may not like them, but teach them. Teach them the truths. Let them know that those things. But Paul's telling Timothy, stay with those things you've been taught. Times are going to get tough. The world's going to get dark. Things are going to get hard. Stay with those things you've been taught. The idea of learning is to learn from someone's lips. To learn from someone's lips. Those things your mother's taught you. So I challenge you, brothers, tell them. Every chance you get, teach them. Teach them. Teach them out of the scriptures. Teach them just in talking. As you ride down the road, talk to them, tell them, teach them things. But they are not only personal education, but practical demonstration. In verse 14, he says, and has been assured of. The idea of being assured of is not only learning from someone's lips, but also being assured of is by someone's life. By seeing it. You see, it's one thing to hear it, but it's something else to see it. He's saying, Timothy, you not only heard it, but you saw it. You heard it from your grandmother and your mother's lips, but you saw it in their life. Sometimes mothers or dads will say, oh, you do what I say. Don't go for what I do, but do what I say. I want to tell you, it ought to line up. What you say ought to line up with what you do. How you act ought to line up with what you say. By what you say. Oh, we want our children to be faithful to God's house, but it don't make much of an impression if we're not faithful. We want our children to do what's right, but it ain't going to make much of an impression if we don't do what's right. So I ask the question, what do they see in us? Do they see faithfulness? Or do they hear one thing but see another? They need to have a godly influence, not just by words, but by what we say. So Timothy Timothy, Paul said, Timothy, you not only heard it, you saw it. You saw what was right. I want to tell you, I'm thankful. I'm thankful I just didn't see it. And I heard it. I'm not just heard it, but I saw it. Boom. Boom. I want to tell you, you may be saying, preacher, I didn't have that. I didn't have it at home. My parents, they didn't do it. It was after I got grown that I heard the gospel and I got saved. So I didn't have that growing up. Start it now. Start a heritage now in your family. Let your children, your grandchildren know what's right. Teach them the truth and the things of God in your life. I ask you, do your children, grandchildren, do they see you read your Bible? Do they hear you talk about Jesus? Or do they just hear you talk about other things? Let them see Christ in you. And let them hear the things of God in what you say. But there was not only faith with convictions and faith that was communicated, but lastly, there was a faith that was commended. A faith that was commended. Back in chapter 1, that's exactly what Paul's doing. He is commending their faith. Paul says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it is in thee also. Paul said that it is faith that is was in you, but was in them first. He said, I am commending their faith. No doubt Timothy wouldn't have been where he was had they not been faithful to the Lord. And so Paul is commending their faith. Their faith was a living relevance in the life of Timothy. You say, what do you mean a living relevance? It made a difference in Timothy's life. Times may change. Styles may change. Things may go in and out of fashion. But the importance and the relevance of a godly mother never goes out of style. Never goes out of fashion. The faith that you pass on from day to day in your children will never be replaced. It'll never be replaced. Can I say to you today that it doesn't end when they're grown? That you will always, always, as a mother, you'll always make an impact on your children's life. My mother today is 91 years old. And she still is making an impact on my life. I wrote down the other day to see her. And I wanted to spend a little time with her for Mother's Day. So I wrote down to see her. And I told her, I just wanted to tell her what a blessing she was to me. And I gave her a card and a gift for Mother's Day. And I wanted to tell her, at 91 years old, I wanted to tell her how much I loved her. And I wanted her to know that at 91, she is still touching my life, still making an impact on my life. I still think of her example down through the years, not just as a child growing up, but even now as an adult, she's making an impact on my life. There can never be a value placed on a godly mother. Proverbs 31 and 10 says, who can find a virtuous woman? for a price of sparks of rubies. And in the same chapter, verse 31, 30 and 31 says, favor is deceitful and beauteous thing, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. So let her know when she's a blessing. Because one day she may be gone. I thought as I went down to tell my mom, at 91 years old, that I loved her and I appreciated her. Because even though there's a virus and all of these things, who knows what another year may bring? In another year, she may not be with me on another Mother's Day. So I say to you, don't wait till it's too late to tell her what she means to you. I don't know if you've read the pastor's pondering yet or not, but I talked about giving people the roses while they're still living. And I talked about that that doesn't necessarily mean literal roses. It talks about letting people know what a blessing they are and what they mean to you while you have the opportunity. That we so often wait, even in church, even in our church setting, that we'll even in church, we'll sit in church and we'll worship with people and we'll come in and out and we'll never let people know they're blessing till it's too late. But even in this setting today, we'll fail to let family, our mothers, people, we'll never let them know what they really mean to us till it's too late. So I say to you, give those roses and let them know what they mean to you, how they're living. Let them know what they truly mean, the difference they make in your life. Because it is a living relevance. But it is a lasting influence. As parents, we often talk about leaving our children something as a heritage, some kind of heirloom, maybe a piece of jewelry or a possession, something we hope they'll treasure, hang on to, something that they'll one day look back and remember. When they'll look at it, they'll think of us, and something that they'll bring back a fond memory whenever we're gone. And then maybe they'll have a good memory. But can I tell you, Mom, can I tell you, Mother, please listen to me closely. The most priceless treasure that you can leave your children isn't your possessions, but it's your faith. The world says, what is a man without money? But God says, what is a man without faith? Genuine faith will leave its mark on your family's life long after you're gone. A life of faithfulness can't help but leave its impression on those about them. Back again in Proverbs 31 and 28, it says about this woman, a virtuous woman, says her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. What I've shared with you today was Timothy's heritage. But I ask you, what about yours and what about mine? If tomorrow's sun would rise to the fact that I had lost everything that I had in this fight, just like Job. I would still have my Christian heritage. I would still have those things in my past that like that all of possessions that I had lost could not take away. I would still treasure my faith that I have in God. So I ask you, what kind of heritage are you leaving your kids and your grandkids? What do you desire to leave behind as a mother or even as a father? Are you leaving them a faith of convictions? A faith that is being communicated to your family? A faith that one day will be commended? I challenge you to instill in your family a faith that one day whenever you're gone that they'll remember. This is what Dad taught me. This is what Mom taught me. And you'll never forget it as long as you live. Those are some things the Lord's put on my heart. I hope they challenge you. I hope that God will seal them to your heart and to your life. I hope you'll take them with you. You say, preacher, my kids for the most part are grown. But I hope that maybe that when you're around them that you'll still put in their hearts some wisdom that you still have to share. Because as long as you live, you still have things to share. My mom, at 91 years old, still has things that she shares with me that I'll treasure till she dies. And some of you, even though your kids are grown, hell, you've got little grandkids that run around instilling in their hearts the truths of God that they'll never get over. What a treasure we have to leave with them. The greatest treasure of all, which is our faith. I thank God for that treasure being given to me. That's the treasure I want to pass on to my family. And I hope it's the treasure you want to pass on to yours. Let's bow our heads. Our Father in heaven, I thank you today for these words that you've shared with us. I thank you for what you put in the word that so speaks so real to our heart today. I ask you to take it today. Would you work it into every heart? And would you seal it to every life? There may be a mother today that's listening, that somehow maybe they've gotten a little slack in some areas of their life. Somehow I pray that you'd challenge their heart to be more faithful. I ask that you'd bless them today. Encourage every mother, every grandmother. Strengthen them, Father. Help them to be faithful, to instill in their children and their grandchildren these great things that you've put in their hearts. Help us as dads even and granddads, and we'll thank you for it. Touch in every request, Father. Meet every need as only you can. Help all that are sick work in every life, and we'll praise you and thank you for it. I pray, Father, you do great things. Help our nation. God, all who are in authority, touch them. Help those that are sick. Help those that are helping the sick. Father, keep them safe. Keep our church family in your care. Keep them safe, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.